Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Howdy do.
Hello.
What's up? Did I distract you?
Yeah, you did. I'm sorry.
What are you doing over there?
I'm looking at my notes.
You don't have any notes.
Well, I'm looking at my computer. There's notes on my screen.
I'm so excited tonight. You know why?
No, I don't.
And I was hoping you would know.
I haven't got a clue.
Maybe. I don't know.
Are you going to ask me?
I don't know why I'm in a good mood. Maybe it's because it's been a whole week since we've done this.
It has been.
When you're not doing two shows a week.
It's easier.
It's longer in between.
Yeah.
And that's just math.
Yeah.
That's just math right there.
Yeah, but I walked in Lee Berry Studios today and they said, can I help you?
Yeah, what was that all about?
It's me.
I tried to scan my badge and it wouldn't let me in.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's bad.
So, anywho, it's a beautiful day here at the Lee Berry Studios. It's clear.
It's very nice. Very, very warm today.
It was very, very warm. Very nice a couple days ago. It was like in the 50s.
Oh, yeah, it was like fall. It was beautiful.
Yeah, except it wasn't really fall.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, we have a website. You know, www.weirdnewspodcast.com.
I know that. Why are you telling me that?
Because I want our listener to go to our website, and there's a little button on the right side of the page, right next to our latest episode.
The one that says, hi.
Yeah, it says.
Oh, no, it doesn't say hi.
It says voicemail. I want somebody to click.
I'll call you and leave you
not
some voicemail.
Not you. You don't count. You're part of the crew here, yeah.
Like I have to hear that from my parents. I got to hear that from you, too.
Anyway, I want somebody to leave us a voicemail. Please.
Please, just make Aaron happy.
Just so we know that the thing's working, for Pete's sake.
We might play it on the show.
Yeah, I'd love to.
As long as you're nice.
But let's get to the weird news, shall we?
Top story.
Sewage leak splashes hundreds of checked bags at Nashville Airport.
Gross.
That's right here.
That's gross.
That's just down the road.
That's a local story, too. Let me play the local theme.
Darn it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We really got to work on getting a new.
Well, that's local. That was recorded local.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning. Well, not so yesterday.
No.
Water from a restroom directly above the baggage handling area at Nashville's airport leaked through the floor and onto hundreds of bags below.
I'm not picking those
bags
up.
While the water came from a plugged toilet, officials treated it as sewage.
Well, it was.
And removed 380 bags from Southwest flights that were on the carousel to check for dampness.
How would you like to have had that job? Hey, Jimmy.
Nope. That's a nope.
Come over here.
The leak occurred because someone plugged the toilet in the women's restroom with paper towels, flooding the area. While that isn't the same as splattering bags with raw sewage, airport officials still took precautions and burned the entire airport down. Now, they brought in an environmental cleanup crew.
Yeah, they did.
The affected bags are being sanitized, and in some cases, replacement bags are being offered. Hey, Southwest, how about some of those peanuts?
Yeah, I'll take some of those. If you get some on the plane, you get like 2.5
they
in
used
the bag.
To have, they used to have like soup, and then somebody sued them.
Yeah.
So now all you get is peanuts.
That's ridiculous.
It's dumb. This isn't the first time that this has happened at the Nashville airport.
Really?
I'd like to know if that's going to happen a lot. TV station... Wait a minute. We don't have a TV station, KTRK.
No, we do not.
What the heck?
This must have been reported out of state.
Well, okay, so why don't you come to Nashville and find out what really happened instead of listening to KTRK?
Yeah, KTRK.
They said that the airport authorities are considering restructuring the airport's drainage system
to
make sure this doesn't happen again.
That's a pretty good idea, but it's a brand new airport. I mean,
well, it's not that brand new.
Well, it's pretty
new. Second time that has happened. For the first time, it's okay, but the second time...
I disagree. It's not okay the first time or the second time.
That's what one passenger said. Another Southwest passenger told the TV station WKRN, which is actually in Nashville.
Yes, I know that one.
That her plane simply took off without her bags, and she wasn't the only traveler affected in that way. You know what? Let them take off without my bags. Won't you burn my bags and replace everything?
Absolutely. Everything. Including the gold bars I had.
I was going to say, whatever you were trying to smuggle.
Yeah.
People had issues that we could have dealt with in Nashville, she told the TV station.
Sound like that. We sound normal.
She was from Arkansas.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
She's flying out of Nashville.
Gotcha.
People had issues that we could have dealt with in Nashville, she told the TV station. They knew that getting us on the plane, letting us happily fly to Nashville with no luggage. What does that mean?
Happily fly out of Nashville with no luggage. People happily fly into Nashville.
Yeah,
they're always sad when they leave.
Yeah, you would think they would be.
Because
they're going to somewhere not as fun.
It's nice.
Not as nice.
Yeah, that's right.
Update. Oh. Southwest sent us a statement about the incident. We do not attribute any flight delays yesterday to the incident in Nashville. As our employees in Nashville worked to resolve the issue, they identified which bags may have potentially been affected, contacted our customers, processed the bags, and reunited our customers with their luggage.
Reunited. So let me ask you, Craig.
It didn't smell too good.
If your what? Luggage is on this roundabout.
If it is, I'm going to be concerned because I haven't packed my bags yet.
If you get a little splash of water from a clogged toilet, you know, it's probably just a clogged toilet. It's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, people.
Would you risk
people
it?
People are germaphobes.
People are.
And when you talk about water coming out of a toilet, I think if it was drenched.
Yeah, that's different. If you pick it up and it's dripping, yeah.
Yeah, if my bag's next to your bag and yours is drenched and mine's got a little bit of wet spot, I'm like, I'm going to keep moving.
Yeah, me too. Go home, wash
Unless
everything.
There's free peanuts. Ooh, and then I'm going to probably stick around for that case of peanuts that they're going
to
give me.
Well, headline is here, a man charged with robbery after attempting to report a robbery. Sounds interesting. An East Alton man was arrested Friday after attempting to report a robbery while also being the suspect of an armed robbery.
Robbery?
Earlier that same evening. Joshua Franklin, age 19, from East Alton, was charged Monday with armed robbery, a class 10 felony.
You know why there's trouble with this guy?
Why?
He's got four names.
Joshua L.T. Franklin.
Yeah, Joshua L.T. He's J.L.T. Franklin.
J.L.T.F.
Yeah.
That's too many initials.
That is.
So he was arrested by Wood River Police and is currently being held in Madison County Jail. And the old Stony Lonesome there in Madison County,
right.
The old, the big top. Franklin was transported to jail Monday. On Friday, approximately 7:45, the Wood River Police Department received a 911 call from a resident reporting an armed robbery.
So somebody stole their arm?
A suspect description was obtained and a perimeter was established with the assistance of Roxana. South Roxana, Hartford, and East Alton Police.
I thought Roxana was helping.
She was, yeah. South Roxana, her sister was, too. The suspect was seen near the East Alton Wood River shortly after the robbery, according to a release from the police. Within an hour of the reported armed robbery, East Alton Police reported a subject that matched the suspect's description was inside the lobby of their police department. He's right here.
Wow.
This guy's wearing the same clothes, looks just like him. So, of course, he robbed somebody.
Right.
They called the police.
He thought he would throw him off the scent.
I think that's what it was. So, then he went into the police station and said, hey, there's been a robbery. He messed up.
I'm going to give him a few points for creativity.
Well, yeah.
What he thought he would do is rob the place, go to the police department, throw him off the trail. Say, well, I'm the guy that reported it.
I told you about it.
He goes, but it's you on the camera. No, that's not me.
No, that's not. Looks like me, though.
Accused burglar doesn't flush toilet, leaves DNA for police.
Oh, man.
That was nice of him to leave that for him.
Yeah, what about the poor guy that had to dust that evidence?
A man accused of burglarizing a Southern California home took a bathroom break and left DNA evidence in the toilet that led to his arrest, an investigator said Tuesday. Shouldn't there have been some other DNA in there also?
Well, here's the thing.
Well, I guess they could. It's pretty obvious what it was.
When I first read this headline, I thought, well, it wouldn't matter if he had flushed or not. The DNA would stay around, but they wouldn't have known he had used the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, depending on where he was. Now, it was in someone's house.
Yeah.
So that pretty much.
Yeah, they said, we always flush. That's him.
Yeah,
that's him.
He looks like that.
And the police
what he looks like.
Get Jones in here.
Can you give me a description? Yes, he looks like the thing in the toilet.
Get the rookie in here to dust this, would you?
Wigglesworth! You're both. The suspect did his business and didn't flush it during the October break-in in the city of Thousand Oaks, said Detective Tim Lohman, the guy at the bottom of the ladder, of the Ventura County Sheriff's Office. That allowed investigators to collect evidence to conduct a DNA profile. It matched another profile in the national database, and detectives tracked down the suspect at his home in the nearby city of Ventura.
And they said, you better learn to flush them toilets.
That is going above and beyond your duty.
Oh, what did you do?
What
did you do? Headline it. You're going to love this story,
what
Craig.
What did you do?
You're going to love this. Professor lets students choose their own grades for stress reduction. A University of Georgia. I'm so glad this isn't Auburn. I'd be ashamed. If I was a University of Georgia fan, I'd be ashamed of this. A university
if you're a human being, you should be insulted by this.
A professor has adopted a stress reduction policy that will allow students to select their own grades if they feel unduly stressed.
So can I select not to come to class at all and get straight
Absolutely.
A's?
According to online course, it's online course syllabi. For two of Dr. Richard Watson's fall business courses, he has introduced the policy because emotional reactions to stressful situations can have a profound consequence on all involved.
I'm stressed out listening to you try to say that.
As such, if students feel unduly stressed by a grade or any accessible material or the overall course, they can email the instructor indicating what grade they think is appropriate.
Why has this guy got a job?
Why didn't I have him in college? I never would have gone to class.
Why does this guy have a job?
He said, if in a group meeting you feel stressed by the group's dynamics, you should leave the meeting immediately and need offer no explanation to the group's members. You know what? When we were growing up, if we were stressed, you know what we did? We sat it out. We toughed it out, as I should say.
Yeah, we back stayed. In our day, we'd tough
yes.
it out.
I know. I was stressed once in Coach Langford's office.
Oh, yeah. He was stressed.
Yes,
on your
did.
Back end with that paddle.
And he wouldn't let me walk out. Well, I crawled
He'd
out pretty
much. He'd
be sued
now.
Yeah, he would. Similarly, when it comes to tests and exams for Watson's data management.
The computer?
And Watson? Energy informatics. What's it?
Informatics?
Informatics is what it says. All will be open book and open notes test and designed to assess low-level mastery of the course material. Low-level mastery.
Yes.
I mean, I've got that and everything I do.
I'm low-level on everything.
I'd have to tie my shoes. I'm low-level mastered
that.
That
is true.
Yeah. So anyway, finally, for in-class presentations, Watson will allow only positive comments to be made, while comments designed to improve future presentations will be communicated by email. So he's not going to say anything negative to you in class.
Do you notice there's a lot of cases in the U.S. where judges and professors are causing the most trouble?
Yes, I have noticed that.
Get rid of them.
I say so.
I say get rid of them.
I mean, don't like kill them.
No, don't damage
replace
them.
Replace them.
Don't hurt them.
Yeah, replace them. Yeah,
reevaluate.
Sure.
Sure.
We should run for office.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the attention
Two
span.
Middle-aged dudes like us, we could get elected.
I don't have the attention
span. I'll even let you be president. I'll be vice.
Oh. Miami Vice? Do I get to wear the seersucker suit?
I'd be in charge of the vice squad.
Ugh. Pharmacist made customer remove clothing before filling prescription.
Wait a minute. That's not right.
I got to read this. A licensed pharmacist in Niagara Falls. Slowly I turned. Step by step. Only guys will get that.
Yeah, I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
A pharmacist is facing charges after police say he compelled a woman to remove her clothes before he would fill her prescription. You got to get naked. I ain't going to give you this prescription.
You want these pills?
Niagara Falls police and the DEA arrested 81-year-old Robert Kinzia for coercion Tuesday morning. Police said Kinzia, a licensed pharmacist at McLeod's Pharmacy in Buffalo on Buffalo Avenue, threatened the customer to notify other pharmacies to fill her prescriptions if she did not comply with his demands.
So he said either you do that or you're not going to get this filled anywhere
you're
else.
You're blacklisted everywhere
yes.
in this town. The Drug Enforcement Administration is now conducting a full audit of the pharmacy to see if other illegal activities has occurred at this location. Isn't the whole pharmaceutical business some kind of an illegal activity?
The whole thing
is a sham.
It is a sham.
But they don't make you take your clothes off to get your prescription.
No, you know, that's taking it to the next level is what
that's
that is.
That's next level pharmaceuticals. Longtime friends of Kinzia, or is it Kinzia?
Yeah.
Are in disbelief. When I saw it, I laughed. It's not him. Why do you sound like Bill Clinton? And that was a woman, by the way.
Yeah, Bill
said,
Clinton.
Said Diane Curtis. When I saw it, I laughed. It's not him, said Diane Curtis, a friend of Kinzia. I'm shocked, truly shocked. Niagara Falls police say it is suspected that there may be other victims who have yet to come forward.
Yeah, but I bet they start. It's the same thing like with Bill Cosby.
I was going to say it sounds like Bill Cosby. Maybe this is Bill Cosby's pharmacist.
Oh, I bet it. You know what? He had to get that stuff somewhere.
Let's be careful what we say on, you know.
Headline is, intruder gets caught washing dishes.
Well, that's not so bad.
He can break into my house anytime he wants. A man allegedly slipped inside a New Jersey home through an unlocked door, walked in on a woman showering, and then cleaned the family's dishes before he was caught by police.
Wait, did he clean the dishes in the shower?
No.
Okay.
Sheena Diaz was in the shower when a stranger entered the bathroom, police said. She told him she was going to call the cops, and he left. Diaz ran into
it. Is it Diaz? It was Diaz a minute ago. Now it's Diaz.
I have that option. You're making me uncomfortable. I'm going to change my grade. Diaz ran into another room where her 16-year-old sister was playing with their 1-year-old nephew. She was panicked and she was crying and she was on the phone with the police, Micah Diaz said. I asked her what had happened. What's wrong? And she said, there's a guy in the house. The girls locked the door and waited for the police to come to the house.
Locked the door? Was he in? Wait, if he's in the house, why would you lock the door?
Well, he was in the kitchen washing dishes while they were upstairs locking doors.
They locked the door upstairs.
Yes.
Okay.
When officers arrived, they found the intruder in the kitchen cleaning dishes, police said. James King of Jamaica, Queens, has been arrested in the case. A family member told Pix 11 News that the two children, ages 1 and 16, were at home at the time. So, Craig, you think in his mind he thought, I will act like I was hired.
Well, what did he want?
I don't know.
She was in the shower, but then he just went downstairs and started washing dishes.
Yeah. I think he says, she's calling the cops. I'm going to look like I was meant to be here.
I'm from Scrub-A-Dub-Dub. I'm here to clean your dishes, ma'am. I was hired to clean these dishes.
You won a contest.
Yeah, you won a contest. Yeah, and I'm here to Scrub-A-Dub-Dub your dishes clean.
That's what I was saying. He may not be that stupid.
Well, he got caught.
Oh, crap.
Driverless van in Virginia is driven by a man dressed like a car seat.
Oh, I've seen clips of
this. It's not really driverless.
No, it's not. It's a driver car.
A van. Let's take it down.
Okay.
A van that appeared to have no driver made headlines when it was spotted in Arlington, Virginia last week.
Oh, sure.
But when News 4's Adam Tuss saw the van on Monday and looked inside, he saw that it did have a driver, a man dressed in a costume made to look just like a car seat. From the road, the unmarked gray van eerily looks like it's moving without a driver. The entire front seat looks empty, but when Tuss looked out, inside, he saw a man wearing a beige and black costume that covered his entire torso.
Did you see this video by any chance?
I saw pictures, but I'm just asking, why did the guy get up that morning and do this?
Yeah, it explains that.
His arms poked out of the bottom of the costume to steer. His face was completely covered, like that of a sports mascot who can see out but no one else can see in. I looked out and I said, oh my gosh, there's a guy in a seat costume, Tuss said. How's that possible? Your brain can't get around it for a second.
I had no issue getting around it.
As Tuss left the ARLNow.com offices, he saw the 2017 Ford Transit Connect himself. He and a News 4 photographer followed the vehicle in Clarendon and Boston for about 20 minutes.
This is some, you know what this is? This is investigative reporting.
It is.
In action.
It's taking action.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yes.
Tuss went to knock on the window. At first, he thought he saw an empty seat. Then, when he looked below the wheel, he saw the man's hands and legs. Brother, who are you? What are you doing? I'm with the news, dude. Tuss said. Dude, can you pull over? We talk for a second.
That's pretty accurate.
But the driver didn't say a word.
No, he wasn't giving it up.
After multiple inquiries by News 4, the Virginia Tech Transportation Institute said Monday afternoon that the van and van driver are part of a study they are conducting on driverless cars. The worker was wearing the uniform he was supposed to wear. So this is like Disney. They weren't breaking character.
No, that's exactly right.
And I think
he was taught in class. He said if anybody is suspicious, you just drive off.
Your motivation, your chair. The driver's seating area is configured to make the driver less visible within the vehicle while still allowing him or her the ability to safely monitor and respond to surroundings, a statement said from the Institute. Who has a lot to say?
Yeah.
Virginia Tech declined to make the half car seat, half man, as Tuss put it, available for an interview. Arlington County officials were involved in the planning for the study, a Virginia Tech spokeswoman said. Arlington was selected because it is representative of the urban areas for which automated vehicles are currently being considered.
The reason I asked if you'd seen this video is because it made me laugh because the reporter was acting as if he had just uncovered Watergate. And when he's knocking on this window, and he's like, follow him. You know, I'm thinking.
It sounds like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But this guy's never seen the videos of people.
The pranks.
The pranks pulling up to drive-thrus.
Yes. Like, in those costumes.
Different costumes and stuff.
All right. Next headline. Fountain Valley man sues Heineken, saying he found two dead geckos in his beer.
You put that with a gecko leg and some salsa?
You got a meal, maybe.
Uh-huh.
A Fountain Valley man is suing Heineken and the Kroger Company, saying he found two dead geckos in a beer can he bought at a local Ralph's supermarket. George Tuba alleges he suffered several abdominal pains in August of 2015 after he drank from a 24-ounce Heineken he bought from Ralph's in Fountain Valley.
He should have stopped by Guitar Center. You know why?
Why?
Because he could have had two dead geckos and a microphone.
Oh, that's true. The Ralph's chain.
That was a long way to go for that.
It was good, though. The Ralph's chain is owned by Ohio-based Kroger. According to the suit, Tuba noticed that the beer had a Tuba noticed that the beer had a foul taste, and he immediately
maybe it's just not good beer.
It may not be. He immediately began having abdominal pain and started vomiting. His daughter examined the can of beer and found two juvenile. They're not even supposed to be in there. They're not old enough,
to be in beer. Now, if it would have been one of those poisonous dart frogs.
Sure.
Then I understand.
You got a case. Yeah.
Or like a pufferfish, one of those blowfish.
Two juvenile leopard geckos were inside, the suit states. You know, geckos, they're a type of lizard. You know, they're also spokespeople for certain insurance companies. Yeah, spokes animals. When discovered, the geckos had not been decomposed at all and were likely alive when the beer was poured and sealed into the cans. That would make no difference to me at all. I'd still probably barf.
No. Heineken. I had this friend who's a cop. He got a.
we're going to get to that. Heineken USA is a subsidiary of the Dutch Brewing Company, and in a statement said that it holds the safety and integrity of the products we import to the highest standards. We have investigated this isolated claim, and based on a number of factors, we confidently believe there is no merit to this claim. So what they're saying is these folks put these geckos in, and you and I have seen a movie called Strange Brew where Bob and Doug McKenzie happen to pull this, and it goes a little something like this.
Okay, good day. Welcome to the Great White North. Go. Go again. Beautiful. Okay, good day. Welcome to the Great White North. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
How's it going, eh?
And whoa, did you hear about... Well, you can tell.
Okay, you hear about the guy who, like, was opening a beer, eh, and, like, went to drink and then did the stupid thing of looking in the bottle and, whoa, there's a mouse in his bottle.
There's a gecko in here.
There's a gecko.
Real mouse. Well, I guess it was dead, right? Drowned from beer. And drunk, too.
It died. It had a smile on its face, eh?
It died from drunk driving in the bottle. But you know what the guy got? Tell him.
A whole case of beer.
Right.
So that's what this guy was trying to pull with the geckos.
He was Elsnor.
Stuff a mouse into a beer bottle without breaking it.
The bottle.
Its bones.
Right.
So that they'll look at it and give you a case and not think you hosed them by deliberately stuffing one in.
Anyway, that's like what Bob and Doug.
I thought you could play the clip from the movie.
Right.
I was thinking about it, but this one, they actually explained it a little better of how to do it.
Doug goes, I got a friend who's a cop.
Yeah, and he said.
He said, and I think you get
free beer.
You get free beer if that happens.
Anyway, I thought that
you
was
You really went off the trail there.
You know, these people actually put these geckos in that can. I'm telling you, this is a
scam. There's no way.
I don't have to be a private investigator.
Because why would a gecko crawl into a bottle of beer? Well, you know, I guess.
Darn it.
Two men simply walk out of Walmart. That's really not a story at all, is it?
Nah, I do that all the time.
I simply walk out. Unless it's really crowded, then sometimes it's hard to walk out of Walmart.
I don't go to a crowded Walmart.
What's a crowder Walmart?
It's where you get your clam chowder crowder.
Oh, right. Crowder head. Two men simply walk out of Walmart after scooping up five TVs.
Uh-huh.
Two men in Pennsylvania were able to slip into the stock area of Walmart. That's not really slipping in. You just walk back.
You can walk back there
anytime.
Nobody
pays attention.
No.
We're not encouraging that behavior.
Don't do it.
No, don't
but
do
you
that.
Could.
Don't do that.
It's very simple.
But they were able to slip into the stock area of a Walmart store at lunchtime last Tuesday, walking out with five large flat panel televisions. How?
How,
they
you
didn't
ask?
They disguise themselves as store employees and were caught on camera.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to write these down, right? Number one, they didn't disguise themselves
as
store employees.
That's step one. That's easy.
That's step one.
Because we walk around not disguised as Walmart.
Right.
Yeah.
Step two, they were caught on camera.
Uh-oh, that's a mistake.
Number three.
Yeah.
They, no one stopped them.
Well, that's Walmart.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
If they would have just put a phone up to their head, nobody would have seen
you. You're invisible.
You're invisible. Nobody would have seen
you. And if it's crowded, if you walk backwards, nobody.
With a phone.
Then you're 100% invisible.
Yes. Nobody can see you.
Yeah.
Now police are looking for help identifying these two suspects.
Aha.
The two suspects look like they stopped by Walmart on their way home from the golf course.
If they were filmed in a Walmart, I'm sure they stopped by a Walmart.
On their way home. And perhaps their superior ability to blend in would help with leaving the store unnoticed. Does this mean they were dressed really like golfers?
I don't
really
know.
Bright colors?
You've seen how the pictures on the internet of Walmart.
Penn Live report. You really get as big as blending with everybody.
Sure.
Penn Live reports that, according to police, the men picked up the TVs from the employees-only back room of the store, then maneuvered through the sales floor and out the front door of the store without being stopped.
We just stopped to get these.
We've heard of mass thefts like this before, but usually people will disguise themselves as store employees to make their presence in the back stock room easier to explain. The incident Most similar to this one was when a man carefully dressed as a Walmart employee in khakis and a blue smock, walking out of the store with a mere 4 large televisions. The same thing happened at a different store the year before.
So this is a reoccurring event.
2 suspects in Colorado dressed as Target employees and knew enough about the store operations to convince someone to unlock the security cabinet to give them Beats headphones. Last year, a man knew which shirt to wear to walk into an Apple store, obtain a stack of 19 iPhones, handing them over to an accomplice inside the store.
Wow.
And we talked about this before. I had a friend that at a local mall just up the street, you know, told me one time that at this department store, some guy just, you know, walked up. There was a cart full of stuff, just walked right out. They caught him, but it was like just walked out, like knew what they were doing. Yeah. Nobody said a word.
Yeah, I remember when I worked at a game room in the mall.
The one you followed me to.
There was a Walgreens at that mall.
Yep.
And a guy used to go in there and pick up cases. You remember they had the back door?
Yep.
That he would just walk in, pick up the beer, and just walk out and get in the car and drive off. He did it a number of times.
Do you remember the Blues Brothers?
Yeah.
Those guys that would hang out at the mall?
No.
No, not the movie, the Blues Brothers. There were 2 guys that walked around that mall we're talking about dressed as in character as the Blues Brothers.
No, I'd never noticed them.
The guy that played the John Belushi character, it's questionable his mental state.
Yeah.
But they were friendly. They didn't cause any problems.
No, Elwood was the Dan
Aykroyd.
And
they would walk around. They look like, I bet Mark Patch remembers them.
I bet he does too.
I'm just saying that. I really don't know if Mark Patch remembers
them. He may. Here's a headline for you. Man injured after bullets.
He was what?
Injured after bullets ricochet off an armadillo.
That's just a bad day.
That is a bad day.
For both the armadillo and the person.
No, the armadillo, it didn't bother him. A Texas man who found an armadillo in his yard early Thursday morning opened fire on the animal. Only to have the bullet ricochet back and hit him in the face, Craig.
It's nature's little tank.
The bullet hit him in the face.
I get it, but why would you do that to an armadillo?
The man went outside around 3 a.m. and fired his .38. His wife was in the house, Cass County Sheriff Larry Rowe said. He went outside and took his .38 revolver and shot 3 times at the armadillo.
And the armadillo went, pow, pow, pow.
The shell deflected the bullets, and the man had to be airlifted to a nearby hospital where his jaw was wired shut. His wife was
instant karma.
Instant karma's going to get you. The sheriff said they could not recover the animal, so its status is unknown, which tells me it just walked away.
He's like, whatever. I happen to be a Kevlar armadillo. Man tries to deposit fake $1 million bill.
Well, that's smart.
And then arrested for meth.
Well, yeah, he probably was.
A 33-year-old Sioux City man is alleged to have tried to deposit a $1 million bill at a local bank.
Uh-huh.
According to multiple media reports, on Thursday, Dennis Strickland tried to deposit the fraudulent currency at Northwest Bank at this road somewhere there. Spotting the fake bill,
sure.
That's a crack.
Somebody deserves
right
a raise.
Spotting the fake bill, hey, Both, I think this is fake. Teller notified the Sioux City Police Department. What?
Do they even make $1 million bill?
No. If they did, there's like one.
Yeah, and this crackhead's not going to have it.
Sergeant Judy Kellen confirmed Strickland did try and deposit a piece of paper at the bank, but would not verify any other details about that portion of the incident, since no charges were filed in relation to it.
Wait, no charges
no
were
charges?
Filed?
That's
still reminds like bank me, robbery, isn't
this
it?
Still reminds me of Beavis and Butthead when they just they go to Kinko's and just we talked about this, right?
Yeah,
they go to Kinko's and they just like Xerox coins,
yeah,
and they just kind of tear them off the paper and like, how does does this change your mind? What about this? When officers arrived at the bank Thursday and questioned Strickland, he was asked to empty his pockets and was found to be in the possession of methamphetamine.
And
he was charged. He just paid him $1 million.
Yeah,
they left him alone.
What about this?
He was charged with possession of a controlled substance, first offense, but nothing about counterfeit money.
No, and he's probably, I mean, it didn't even serve jail time for that, probably. God, people. Okay, you know, we really like the Asian stories, and this one piqued my interest because the headline is 60-year-old man being investigated for sticking toothpicks in a bus seat.
Do bus seats have teeth?
No, they don't. And that's what made them really stand out. Well, of course, they stuck out, but they also
stood
out.
And also, if you sat down on them, ouch.
These come from Singapore. A 60-year-old man is being investigated for his suspected involvement in a case of mischief where toothpicks were embedded in a public bus seat. Police said in a statement
Plural
on Tuesday.
Yeah, seats.
Well, maybe. Police said in a statement
well, maybe
on Tuesday.
Maybe it says right there.
That they
seats.
Received a report from the management of bus company on August 4th.
You know what's really sad about the story?
What?
There are no quotes.
Oh, darn. The bus company said that one of the passenger seats on their bus was perforated with toothpicks.
Well, I thought it was easy to tear apart.
The Straits Times understands that the bus was an SBS transit bus.
Oh, not one of those.
Yeah, it's the ones you took when you were in Asia.
Was that a side-by-side?
Pictures of three toothpicks sticking out of a red bus seat, believed to be related to this case, had made their rounds on social media in late July. And I do remember seeing this story, but it only came up on my feed this week. Officers from Transcom of the Clemente Police Division conducted extensive investigations and referred to closed-circuit television footage, which helped them identify the suspect.
Woman arrested after arriving intoxicated to court.
If you're going to court, if you're going to be before a judge, don't drink. You know, wait.
She should have taken that right turn maybe in Albuquerque.
Maybe she thought.
No, because this actually happened in Albuquerque.
Yeah, it did. Maybe she thought she was going to jail, and she's like, I want to be soused when
maybe
I get there.
Maybe she thought she could only get relaxed if she was intoxicated.
Who knows?
She was scared to death to go to, you know.
Could be.
She didn't realize the bigger picture was, you know, we'll find out.
Go ahead.
An Albuquerque woman slated for trial Thursday afternoon before Los Alamos Municipal Court Judge Alan Kirk on a charge of driving under the influence appeared intoxicated and smelled so strongly of alcohol that probation officer Linda Pena conducted a sobriety test in the courtroom, which indicated that her blood alcohol level was 0.237.
That's over twice the legal limit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Monique Badoni, 22, was scheduled to appear...
Monique Badoni.
That's all I can come up.
What an unusual
Monique Badoni.
Unfortunate name to have.
Badoni. Monique Badoni.
Name, please. I'm Monique Badoni.
Monique Badoni. She was scheduled to appear at 1 p.m., but did not arrive until 2 p.m.,
oh,
so strike one.
She's late.
She was asked if she had driven from Albuquerque and said her boyfriend, Trevor Martin, had driven.
Oh,
Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor.
He's always in trouble.
Under her pretrial conditions of release, she was forbidden from drinking alcohol, so she was taken into custody by Los Alamos police officers. Martin was later arrested and charged with possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia.
What a couple.
Badoni was initially arrested May 28th by LAPD Corporal Jumel Montoya, who was running radar. Why was he running? Why did he just sit in his car?
Maybe he wanted to go by the bakery and pick up a Badoni.
Oh,
you know.
Maybe. When he's... There was something in there. I'm going to give you credit for that.
I'm going to have a Bedoni and a large coffee.
When he spotted a vehicle with all the windows covered with clothing and obstructing the driver's view. How were they driving it? When he turned around and was attempting to catch up with the vehicle to perform a traffic stop, a piece of clothing blew off the car and landed in the lane of travel ahead of him.
Uh-oh.
Montoya's report said he turned on his emergency lights and the vehicle slowed down and continued east until it reached the entrance to Bandelier National Monument. During this time, Montoya observed two people moving around in the vehicle. When he made contact with Badoni, he could immediately smell... quote-unquote, an overwhelming odor of intoxicating liquor.
As opposed to
the
non-intoxicating
like
liquor.
Like an O'Doul's
yes.
or something. But which is not liquor.
No, that's malt.
That's all I had.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for the education on
sure.
that. Badoni allegedly admitted to drinking two beers earlier when he asked her about the smell of alcohol in the vehicle. It could have been an air freshener. Her passenger, that would be funny. Make air fresheners that smell
terrible.
Like liquor.
Just
that would,
that
would confuse
cars.
Everybody. I mean, think about that, how much chaos that would cause.
Yes.
When he asked her about the smell of alcohol in the vehicle, her passenger said he had spilled beer earlier and that it was all over the floor. Montoya asked Badoni to get out of the vehicle and attempted to conduct a standard-filled sobriety test. He asked her again how much she had to drink, and she allegedly told him she had multiple shots before leaving Albuquerque. Well, you know, you want to get immunized, right? and she had some beer while she was... while she was somewhere. Montoya asked her how many open containers were in the vehicle, and she allegedly responded that there were some under the passenger seat and in the back seat.
Oh, boy. People.
People.
Craig, when you have nightmares about certain things, you know, I don't like snakes. I have nightmares about snakes. I don't like monsters. And I really don't like toilet blowback.
Yeah, I've read about this.
Toilet blowback.
Yep.
Scares me. Just thinking about it.
And we read it, and then we'll discuss.
Okay. Durham, North Carolina. The city of Durham officials are warning residents to keep their toilet lids closed for the next 2 months. How are they going to go to the bathroom? That's a long time.
I guess when you're not using them.
Oh, okay. In order to avoid a potentially messy situation. The city will be performing routine cleaning and inspections of a section of Durham's sanitary sewer system beginning Monday in the American Tobacco District. The cleaning will take approximately 2 months. They got to get all that tar and nicotine out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, right.
Part of the project involves jetting of the sewer lines.
Oh, no.
Yeah. According to officials, jetting is a cleaning method that uses pressurized water sprayed through specialized hoses, which can, by the hosers. The hosers have to do that job, which can result in air escaping via inadequately vented plumbing fixtures.
It seems like it's opening them up to a lot of liability here.
It does.
If this, there's got to be a better way to do it.
You would think. You drop a capsule. Give everybody some kind of cleaning capsule to drop or something. If this,
or give that person at the Nashville airport a roll of paper towels.
If this happens, it will cause blowback, which is when toilet or sewer water splashes out of the toilet and releases foul odors into the bathroom.
That's
as
not
well.
All it splashes out. See, I thought the story was going to be about a different they mention it here. It's called blowback. It's just when you flush a toilet. Debris in the toilet, we'll leave it at that. Whatever's been put in the toilet, it can be aerated. And every time you flush a toilet, it goes like a couple feet in the air.
Yeah, now I've heard that. And that actually, just happens.
And
that's why I close the lid before anything.
Yeah, and yeah. So people that try to avoid stuff with like seat covers and stuff like that actually can make the problem worse.
Yeah.
And apparently, we probably grossed out a bunch of people just now.
Probably.
The reality just set in about blowback.
It
so in other
did.
Words, so what we're really saying here is people don't feel bad. You don't have to wait for your city to clean the sewage to give you blowback. You get it every time you flush the toilet, and it's disgusting.
I'm done with that. Okay, let's get over here. I appreciate you waiting.
Yeah.
Jordan. No way.
Everybody wants to do rhythm to the kangaroo.
All right.
You think it's going to come back today? My Australian accent?
Yes.
I don't think it will.
Yes, I had a vision.
Really?
Yeah, it's supposed to be back.
Australian woman finds bullet in her... Oh, it didn't come back.
Darn!
I can try it one more time.
Okay, go ahead.
Australian woman finds bullet in her kangaroo steak.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
That was a little better.
That was
came
good.
Back a little bit.
What's a kangaroo steak,
you know what,
mate?
It's a healing process. I bet it has to come back slowly.
Maybe.
That might be what it is.
Maybe you had a head injury.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Some would say.
Yeah.
People have speculated for years.
I want to try a kangaroo steak.
I don't want to eat a poor kangaroo.
Maybe
it's, I don't
want to
eat a kangaroo. Maybe it's a nickname to a steak. Maybe it's not really kangaroo.
No,
maybe
it's
we should
kangaroo.
Ask Mark or Adam or Lee.
Or Dan, the new guy.
Actually, he's been there
the whole time.
Yeah, well, we need to... I'm sure he appreciates you calling him the new guy. An Australian woman...
Sorry, mate.
An Australian woman claims to have found a bullet in her kangaroo... A bullet?
Yeah, it's
in
a bullet.
Kangaroo steak she bought from Woolworths. They still have Woolworths in...
And stay out of the Woolworths.
They don't have those. We don't have those anymore.
No, we don't have them here.
Okay, so she found a bullet in a kangaroo steak she bought from Woolworths supermarket in Bangarra, Queensland, as reported by news.com.au. Kath Milroy Paddingale, 39.
Kath.
What did I say?
You said Kath. That's just an interesting name to me.
Well, they didn't have enough money to buy a Y. She just had to. She said, "Cash."
What was she on Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune. Yeah, yeah, Wheel of Fortune, mate.
I'd like
crikey.
To buy a Y, please.
I like a Y, crikey.
Sorry, Kath.
Sorry, Kath. We haven't got the money.
We're all out.
Paddingale's husband was about to dish up dinner for his wife when the couple noticed the bullet, according to Mashable. Thanks, Woolies. Nothing more appetizing. Woolies. That's what they call Woolworths down there. Woolies.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Woolies.
It's a woolly.
Nothing more appetizing than a bullet in my kangaroo.
Oh, that's not a bullet.
This pick was taken on a chopping board when we were cutting up the meat. A 60-millimeter thick fillet.
That's a big piece of steak.
After taking it off the barbie, it didn't make it to the dinner plate. It almost came back today.
It did. I told you.
Paddingale told news.com.au. Whatever else they had at the end of it, that she had left the meat in her fridge for a Woolworths representative to evaluate.
So she said,
"They can say, oh, that, you're right. That you're band meeting.
Why?
Band meeting.
Why?
Yes, that is a bullet in your kangaroo steak.
Now let me ask you this question. Why are you shooting out your steaks, mate?
Yeah.
And she's like, no way, mate. That was there when I bought it.
Why don't you just...
And
she just went British. All
he said, "Well, you're going to have to pay for that."
Yeah, Woolworths charges her for the bullet.
Yeah. Headline is: another steak. Another
snake
story. Family terrorized by snakes living under their floorboards. No.
No. Burn it down.
No, I will sleep in the driveway after I burn that place down.
Burn it down.
It may sound like a B horror movie.
What was that?
That was evil. But the frightening scenario is actually real for Rebecca West, age 23, and her boyfriend Daniel Bodali, age 31, and their 17-month-old son, Oscar.
Who's now in the belly of a snake.
The Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch, who lives in a trash can.
One of the snakes had already bitten Mr. Bodali.
Did you say their kid is a furry green puppet?
No, you did. I said he was a Grouch. You said he lived in a trash can.
No, I said his son was, you said Oscar.
Yeah, the Grouch.
No, you said that.
One of the snakes had already bitten Mr. Bodali. That's when you leave.
Yes.
When, if you get bit by a snake, you can no longer stay
Remember
there.
Remember the lady that had the snake stuck to her face?
Yes, I do. By the way, I must apologize because there is a 911 call from her out there online. I didn't realize that when I was researching the study, or we would have had gold last week. But anyway, I digress.
Yes.
After he tried to catch it is
Did
when
you
he
say
got
you digest?
Bit. I do that too. Mr. West and Miss West now fears they may attack their son. I'm worried they will get into my son's cot and am constantly watching him.
Buy the kid a bed.
I would be watching him too. Speaking from her home in Leeds, I don't think they are poisonous or my boyfriend would have lost his finger by now. So they didn't go get it checked out. That's not how you find out.
No, she was afraid he would lose his finger because he doesn't have real fingers.
Oh, they're fake.
They're fake
makes
fingers.
Sense.
Yes.
I don't think they are poisonous, like she said, but they are 3 or 4 feet long, and they are still constricting. If they feel endangered, they will suffocate their prey. She said they found a nest, Craig, a nest of snakes under the bath, and there was a lot of babies growing.
No,
that gets me the willies just thinking about
it. Give me the willies!
The unwelcome residents are thought to be North American corn snakes. Oh, they're good snakes.
Well,
it's okay.
Well, they are. Well, I'd rather have a corn snake than a rattlesnake.
I'd rather have no snake than any snake.
But if you had to choose one, you're going to take the ones that are okay, the good ones.
I'll take the popcorn snakes.
What?
Yeah, because they're light and fluffy.
What does that mean?
It's not a corn snake. It's like lighter.
Oh, a popcorn snake.
Yeah.
Your dad jokes.
I tried. She said that they found this nest.
I speak for everyone when I say don't try again.
And then she added, I heard a one-off scratch before. I don't know what that means, but I thought it was probably a mouse and it would go.
Okay, so she's not bothered by mice.
Well, I'm not really bothered by mice either.
I bet they don't have any mice.
Oh, good point. I bet they don't have any.
I bet they had a bunch of mice. That's why they got the snakes.
Probably.
Because the corn snake's looking for a little mouse treat.
And it's from Leeds. So when we found the snake skin, and we started investigating.
What's to investigate? There's a snake skin. There's a snake.
Miss West said her landlord had given her a pair of litter pickers and a box to put the...
She's not like, the litter pickers.
You got snakes, do you? Well, here, just put them in this box.
You know, if you see snake skins, you know what you got?
Snakes.
Or a pair of boots.
Oh, good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see
mm-hmm.
those.
I'm going to ask Benjo about that.
She has also asked Leeds County Council and the RSPCA for help, but both organizations...
RSPCA.
Find out what you... Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Miss West and her boyfriend, Mr. Bodali, have been forced to rip up the floorboards, so their house is now an absolute bomb site, so she says.
I would hate to see when you rip them up what you're going to find.
Uh-uh. Maybe if you just poured concrete, destroy the house, first of all, burn it.
No, you have to have the house burned to the ground.
It's got
to
be flames. You're correct. Okay.
And then they're going to have to... They're going to have to detonate it with nuclear...
Something. So,
and then they have to dig a hole.
Yeah.
Then have to burn it again.
So if I find a snakeskin in my house and I don't own boots, I'm out of there.
I'm going to leave a snakeskin at your house.
No, you're not.
I might.
No, you're not.
Was that all?
That's it.
Oh,
yeah, end of story.
One.
Yeah.
Noseless man who swam across river. While you okay?
I'm sorry. You're ready for noseless man.
Noseless man who swam across river while high on meth pleads guilty to assaulting rescuer.
Oh, man. How does he hold his nose?
There are stories
in either hand.
There are stories that come across this news table.
How do we do?
Are written for this podcast.
Yes, this is one of them.
And I'm going to read this one again because it deserves to be heard twice. Noseless man who swam across river while high on meth pleads guilty to assaulting rescue.
Yes.
I just want everybody.
There's so much going on there.
Can we just have a moment? Let's everybody just take that in for a minute.
We've got 3 weird stories wrapped up in one headline.
It's crazy. The full details of a harrowing river rescue in Saskatoon a week ago. Saskatoon?
Oh, I love Saskatoon.
Emerged in provincial court this week when 25-year-old Curtis McKenzie pleaded guilty to mischief and assaulting a police officer. McKenzie wore a large gauze bandage over his nose during his court appearances. It was only during sentencing, however, that it came out he'd cut off his nose while serving a federal prison sentence. So he wasn't covering his nose. He was covering a nose socket.
He was covering a hole in his face.
Yes, that's what he was covering.
Yes.
But you know, Michael Jackson did that for years.
Yeah, but he had a much nicer bandage because
that is true.
Looked like a nose.
McKenzie also admitted that he was so high on crystal methamphetamine that he had no memory of swimming across the South Saskatchewan River. Assaulting his rescuers and then causing $900 damage to a detention cell.
Oh.
It began last Thursday when police and fire crews were called to the river with reports of a man swimming across it near the 25th Street Bridge. He was yelling really bad stuff to the police as he swam, said the prosecutor, Frank Impley.
He was cussing them cops out.
No, he said.
No, he did.
Well, he was cussing them out. He's causing quite a disturbance, he said. I don't know where Frank's from.
He's from Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Firefighters in the rescue boat first tried to pull the man out, but he swam away or went underwater when they approached. They went back to shore and enlisted two police officers to help. Eventually, they were able to hold McKenzie in place and slowly move the boat back to shore. Impey said McKenzie had been... Impey said McKenzie had to be cuffed and then carried from the shore to a police cruiser. He remained combative at the police station, tearing off a sprinkler head and flooding his cell.
That'll do it.
During sentencing, it was noted by the judge that he had his nose covered up. However,
that's a smart judge.
It was indicated to the court that it was not because of injuries caused by the police officers, Impey said. It was a disfigurement he did to himself while in the penitentiary. He clarified to the judge that he did, in fact, cut his own nose off despite his face.
Oh, so what we have here, we have one of two things, Craig. We have an insane man who is behind the wrong bars, probably should be locked up somewhere where there's...
getting mental help.
Yeah. Or we have a very stupid criminal who thinks he can act insane and be sent to a mental
institution. This story would have only been better if he fell into a body of water with his nose chopped off with piranha swimming all around.
Oh, yeah. Or shark.
Ooh.
Either one.
Well, whatever.
Sharknado 5, by the way. It's out.
Yeah. Good for us.
Yes. Yeah, real good for us.
Hey, you might have a quote in this next one. You better hurry.
Okay, go ahead. Headline is, Japanese scientists have created ice cream that doesn't melt.
Big deal. Walmart did that like 2 years ago.
No.
Remember the Walmart ice cream bars that wouldn't melt?
No.
You don't remember those?
Oh, I do. Yeah, but those were...
No!
Those were not...
No! Yeah, I do.
Those were not made not to melt. They just didn't melt.
But they win. Yeah. They win. Winner, winner. Chicken dinner.
So real ice cream... I'm going to add real to this because that was not. But real ice cream...
Real ice cream melts.
Real ice cream starts melting just moments after it's scooped from a container and placed into a bowl or a cone.
I'm thinking about ice cream
I'm thinking about Dairy Queen. Mm. Oh, a blizzard. We talked about a blizzard this week, remember? You made me hungry. But because of... I'm thinking Dairy Queen now.
Dairy Queen.
Oh, man. Because of this, people have taken to eating it very quickly and getting a bad case of the brain freeze.
Yeah.
Now, researchers from Kanazawa University in Japan...
Close enough.
Claim to have found a way to maintain the shape of ice cream by increasing its melting point.
Okay.
I could buy this. The product can last 3 hours at room temperature with hardly any melting. But see, you're going to have...
So it's like the... It's like the Yeti of ice cream.
Kind of.
Like, it's the reverse.
Kind of. Yeah. It won't melt, but it won't be cold either. Because I don't think I'd want that.
They'd be like a custard by the time it was done.
That's okay.
Okay.
The Times reported all this, saying that researchers tested the ice cream by blowing hot air on it.
Yeah, you're blowing a lot of hot air right now.
For 5 minutes using a hair dryer. The ice cream retained its shape.
Because it's made of addictive chemicals that make you crave it fortnightly.
I'm going to tell you what it's made of. Okay, scientists have adapted the ice cream by injecting it with polyphenol liquid extracted.
Polyphenol?
Yeah. Liquid extracted from strawberries. So it's natural. Polyphenol
Doesn't
liquid
that mean polyphenol?
Has properties to make it difficult for water and oil to separate.
Oil?
Oil.
What's oil?
Oil.
Yeah.
Tomashisha Ota, a professor at Konawaza University, was quoted as saying,
whatever he said.
An ice cream containing this liquid, it will be able to retain its original shape for longer than usual. It'd be hard to melt, he said. The weather-resistant ice cream comes in different flavors, like chocolate, vanilla, and sushi.
No, that's not what it says.
No, it's strawberry. But sushi ice cream, I'd run from. Hot, cold, not melted, I'm not touching
but
it.
But a sushi roll?
Nope.
You don't like sushi rolls?
I don't like anything that's ever swam. I don't eat fish of any
kind.
I've never
seen a sushi roll that swam.
I've never eaten fish of it. One time.
What is wrong with you?
I just don't eat fish.
Why?
I don't know. I don't like
it. And you won't eat pistachios, apparently.
I've never had a pistachio in my life.
What is wrong? Somebody out there send him a crate of pistachios.
I won't eat them. You tried to get me to eat a
pistachio.
Yeah, but
I'll eat them.
Okay, next story is a naked theme. You ready?
Darn it.
Oh, that was not it. Naked man causes $10,000 in damages to chicken wing restaurant. Juicy Wings. And annoyingly spelled, because it's spelled W-I-N-G-Z.
Oh, that's terrible.
An annoyingly spelled wing joint in Pasadena, California promises that you will sweat if you order its hot wings. Wings. But it wasn't the heat of the wings or the spiciness of the sauce that caused Daniel... Pimento?
Man, we've had some great names this episode.
Daniel Pimento to strip all of his clothes off and go on a destructive rampage through the restaurant, one that left wires dangling from the ceiling and gaping holes in the plaster. Tony, the manager at Juicy Wings, that told the news station that Pimento had been asked to leave the restaurant the day before, and after thinking about it for a full day, the 20-year-old allegedly returned to Juicy Wings and confronted Tony before losing every bit of his stuff. I had to be quick on that one.
Yeah.
And all he lost his
good.
Stuff. He had a bag. He had a phone.
It's all
lost. A bunch of stuff he lost all. And all of his clothing. At that point, this Daniel guy just went crazy, Tony told the station.
Sounds like he was already there.
Yeah.
He didn't go crazy.
It was a very short trip.
Yeah.
Started taking off his clothes and got all naked. And already shirtless, Pimento grabbed a signpost and used it to threaten Tony, who declined to give CBS his full name, before climbing on top of a room divider where he paused briefly to sing. He put a song in for him.
It's a naked song. He's the naked cowboy.
I guess so.
That's what it is.
You're kind of fixated with that guy.
You know what?
You bring him up a lot.
I'm actually a fan of his.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
I've seen him in
concert.
I want
you to stay on that side of the...
Actually.
He
came to Nashville.
Please just stay on that side of the table.
He's a naked cowboy.
He then pulled a chunk of crown molding off the wall, yanked the security camera out of the ceiling, and removed his own pants. He threw a stack of cardboard boxes, punched several holes in the ceiling, broke a granite countertop, and smashed a tablet computer. The total damages, or is that damages,
were
estimated at $10,000.
That's a lot of damage from a naked guy that's singing and all that
that's
good stuff.
That's just a lot going on.
Oh, we got another bear story.
Right.
Another bear breaks into an SUV, but this one's different. You know why? Because then he takes it for a drive.
No, he did not.
A bear that broke into an SUV early Friday in Durango took it for a short ride, rolling it out of a driveway and crashing it into a mailbox.
Oh, so he just probably knocked it out of gear.
Yeah. The commotion woke Ron Cornelius and his wife, who found the trashed Subaru in their yard on Timberline Drive. Usually, I don't get up at 5 o'clock unless there's a bear driving a car down the street.
He's funny. Cornelius?
Yeah, he joked that. After the bear broke into the car, it likely released the parking brake somehow. The couple didn't see the bear leave the SUV and called 911 after the crash because they didn't know if people were to blame or if possibly they were still in the vehicle. So they thought somebody was trying to steal the car.
They didn't expect a bear.
The car rolled backward from a neighbor's home into Cornelius's mailbox over some utility boxes, he said. La Plata County Sheriff's Office deputies determined the bear was to blame because it defecated in the car.
So he left some DNA. They could find out which bear it was.
I'd rather just wreck.
Yeah, right.
Likely because it was nervous.
You think?
Scared the poop out of it. It also ripped up the interior of the vehicle. It
like your dog did your couch.
Oh, please. Don't get me started. Got a new dog, Craig. Came home. It had eaten the couch.
Why are you telling me? I know.
It pulled the steering wheel straight off the shaft.
Your dog?
Ripped the radio out of the dash and busted out the back window.
This bear was really angry.
It was a bad bear. It would have taken a human being hours to do what this bear did in just a couple of minutes.
I don't know. Give me a couple minutes. Let me try.
And he wasn't for sure what was in the vehicle that attracted the bear. Probably a burger.
A sandwich.
A sandwich under the seat or something. Something like that.
Well, we've heard this one before.
Oh, boy.
You better play the theme.
Yeah. Three times. Three times today.
Furious customer takes revenge for bad haircut with daily poop parcels.
Oh, my gosh. That must be one bad haircut.
A Shandong province
man
who was so dissatisfied with his haircut that he made daily deliveries of human feces to the barbershop that gave it to him, is in police custody.
As he should be.
The poop slinger, I just love they added that. The poop slinger was apprehended after the shop's owner made a stink about it to the police, Beijing Times report. It's so disgusting. I have to clean up myself. The owner of the barbershop, well, surnamed Zhang, said.
Maybe he needs to learn how to cut hair better.
Maybe. Caught brown-handed. Caught brown-handed, the man told local police officers that he was taking revenge for a bad haircut he got at the shop. The suspect was handed 9 days in detention.
Detention.
And a fine of $75 in American dollars, the paper reported. I don't want an apology, the owner, Zhang, said. If I knew he was a customer, I would have just warned him instead of calling the police.
I said, you stop bringing that poop to my shop. I really cut your hair.
How about
back.
You give the guy a second chance to give you a better haircut before you start poop slinging?
Oh, speaking of poop slinging, rapper. Rapper who once declared, God made me bulletproof.
What happened to him?
He was shot and killed.
We're not laughing that he's
dead.
No,
that's terrible.
We're not laughing that he's dead. We're laughing that he would say that if he gets shot and killed.
Kind of reminiscent of Nobody Can Sink the Titanic.
Right, right.
An Atlanta rapper who previously claimed...
Wait, you said that guy rapped on the Titanic?
No, I did not.
Oh, right.
He previously claimed to have been shot on at least 11 different occasions, and who said in December, after being wounded, God made me bulletproof, was shot and killed Sunday. Oh, boy. Jibril Abor Rahman, age 28.
Ooh, I love the noodles that his family makes.
He was better known as Young Mazi. Was
Young
found Mazi. Dead with multiple gunshot wounds inside his urban
pizza shop?
Yes, he was found shot in a pizza place, of all places. That's a lot of pepperoni.
That's a lot of pepperoni
this
from a guy named Young Miza. Young Mazi.
Young Mazi was in Atlanta's Kirkwood neighborhood.
Oi,
Mazi, Mazi, Mazi.
Oi, oi, oi.
The television station reported that officers heard the gunshots, but the perpetrator got away before the police arrived. Wow, he must have been fast if they heard the gunshots. In a video posted to YouTube on June 2, 2016, Abar Rahman said that he had been shot 10 previous times. He said in the interview that he keeps getting shot in part due to his skin tone.
He keeps getting shot because he's living the thug life.
He said, I might walk around with $250,000 worth of jewelry on. Whatever that means.
You think,
but the rappers,
you think that might have something to do with people
it
trying
may
to rob
be.
Him?
The rapper's bulletproof declaration came in a tweet after the 11th shooting, sent presumably from the hospital. Just hours after he had suffered a chest wound during an attack at the Waffle House.
Oh,
he
man.
Should stop eating out. That should have been his lesson, because restaurants are dangerous. According to his website, he was raised a devout Muslim, and he was also a father. In one passage in the website's biography, he talked about recovering from a bullet wound to the head. When the bullet wound hit me in the head, it greatly affected me.
You think?
I had to learn how to read, write, and speak all over again, and I'm still not 100% right.
Agreed.
I tried doing my daughter's elementary school homework, and it was hard.
Well, I should be honest with you, that stuff is pretty hard.
Sometimes it can be. So, in the hours since his death, other Atlanta rappers have taken to social media to post their tributes.
Hey, again, not making fun of the fact the guy died, but come on, that's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. And it's sad but funny.
This isn't the top 10.
It's not, but we got to end the show with something.
Okay, so this is the Mark Patch police blotter segment of the show.
Yeah, I figure you take one, I'll take one. It was top 10.
This is, well, you need to have the cops. You know what you need?
Oh, Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
Yeah, that's what we should have had. Yeah.
Yeah, so Flathead, named after Aaron's family. I shouldn't say that. Your dad listens.
My dad is our number one fan.
But it came from your mother's side of the family. So
no, it's my brother. My brother, yeah.
Oh, how is Alan?
He had knee surgery this week.
I bet they gave him a
He's
good
laid
knee.
Up at his house, yeah.
Oh, he's probably already working out. He's running.
I called him today and challenged him to a race. He wouldn't accept it.
He said, no, I'm just...
He just got over the hospital.
He said, I'm just basically trying to just lay here on the couch, watch TV, and outdo you without trying.
Story of my life.
Flathead County Sheriff's Office and Kalispell Police, August 2nd. This is a police blotter. These are things that happened. Here's the timestamps.
We're going to go straight down. All this happened within the same day.
Right. 7:08 a.m. A kitten was found on Diane Road.
Okay. Why are you going to call the police? If you find a kitten? I found kittens. I never called the cops.
Move along.
Okay. 7:23. 10 cows were standing in the road in Columbia Falls. Someone contacted the cow's owner, but it turned out that he had just sold them. So he said, not my cows, not my problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a guy that really is. He's really.
He's got the money.
He really likes to contribute to his community.
You think the guy that bought him said, "I'll be there, pick him up," and he didn't show up?
He just told the cows, go home.
8:10 a.m.
A woman was concerned that someone was using the wrong type of dog kennels.
Really?
What Again, an emergency! People,
what an emergency! Eight minutes after ten.
You can't fix stupid.
No, you can't. 8 minutes after ten, a Kalispell woman reported that a man opened her front door and said, "I am here to pick up Jason," but there was no Jason there.
So, did she investigate that maybe the guy went to the wrong house?
Yeah, that would be my guess.
10:15, another animal.
Oh.
A puppy was wandering around a Kalispell casino.
He's just trying his luck.
And he was beating the house.
At 12:19 p.m., a local campground host reported that a foreigner from either Vermont or Colorado had a gun and might be making a bomb.
Okay, that might be worth looking
no.
into. Why do I keep getting the animal ones?
What in the?
5:14 p.m., horses were on the loose.
6:02 p.m., someone screamed, "Go back to Illinois!" at a driver passing by. It's unclear if the recipient of this suggestion was actually from Illinois.
You call the police to say somebody yelled, "Go back to Illinois."
This is a real police blotter.
7:15, a driver flipped someone off in Big Fork.
Have you ever been flipped off driving?
Yes.
Do you ever call the cops?
No.
8:21 p.m., a Kalispell woman.
I figure if I don't get flipped off going down the road, I'm doing something wrong.
A Kalispell woman called 911 looking for a doctor at the hospital. She thought that was the number. 911, what's your emergency? Oh, I'm just looking for Dr. So-and-so.
Is he on my insurance? 9:13 p.m., a little old lady in Kalispell was driving all over the road. Well, I drive all over the road, too.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You don't stay on the ditch or anything like that.
11:52 p.m., finally. This is the last call on the blotter. 11:52 p.m., a Kalispell man said someone had kicked his door.
Wow.
Now, I'd call the cops on that if somebody's trying to kick my door in.
Yeah, you know. I don't get people.
I'm going to apologize to Mark Patch for not having a top 10 list, but we had
apologize to the listener.
We had Mark Patch. We had a Mark Patch police blotter.
Your lackadaisical way of going about doing things.
Thank you all for listening to episode 102.
Yeah, we'll see you at whatever comes after 102.
That'd be 103.
All right.